Welcome to the March 21st, 2022 regular meeting of the Lyman Board of Selectmen. The meeting is a public proceeding and is being recorded. The agenda is subject to change without notice. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, liberty, and justice for all.
Okay, under the special offers and presentations, we have the Charter Commission preliminary review.
So the Charter Commission, the majority of everything is here tonight. I'm going to go ahead. We had sent along our preliminary report and along with the two attachments last week. So I'm just going to read the preliminary report document, and then we just have a brief list of bullet points that we'll touch on that highlight the major changes that we proposed. So to the voters of the Town of Lyman, the Town of Lyman Charter Commission, here and after commission, submits this preliminary report of the draft municipal charter revisions that it intends to submit to the voters in November of 2022. The commission believes that the proposed charter will help the Town of Lyman manage the expectations of municipal officials and officers, as well as meet future challenges and changing needs of the community. The voters of Lyman approved the establishment of a charter commission at our town election on June 8, 2021. Consistent with state law, 6 members were elected and 3 members were appointed by the Board of Selectmen to serve on a commission. An initial organization meeting was held on July 22, 2021, at which time the commission elected Jessica Pickard, chair, Roger Hooper, vice chair, and Amber Sweat, secretary treasurer. A public hearing was held on August 19, 2021, at which time the Charter Commission received input, opinions, and views from members of the public on the current municipal charter. Over the following months, the Commission met regularly to discuss, draft, and revise charter provisions. The Commission made every effort to be responsive to the will and suggestions of the community while remaining unbiased in their presentation of charter revisions for the voters to adopt. Some highlights of the Commission's work include drafting 2 proposals, one with a town manager and one without a town manager, public outreach for the public hearing, commission members handing out flyers at the transfer station and postings online, sending a memo soliciting feedback from all elected officials, employees, boards, and commissions, setting up a charter commission page on the town website, setting up a specific email address for the charter commission to solicit feedback from the public, interviewing municipal employees that have experience in towns both with and without town managers, and discussing key differences, broadcasting and recording all Charter Commission meetings on the town's YouTube page for full transparency, incorporating an electronic meeting policy to allow members and public participation via Zoom for added convenience, and reviewing existing charters from other towns. The objective of the commission was to look at many possible ideas and use them as a basis for developing the best working charter for the town. The commission wanted to craft a document that would provide needed guidance and direction to municipal officers, officials, and the general public while being flexible and capable of adapting to changing needs as Lyman grows and evolves. The commission plans to consider all comments and deliver a final report and proposed charter revisions no later than June 8, 2022, for the consideration of registered voters at the November 8, 2022 gubernatorial election. It's respectfully submitted from members of the Charter Commission. And then just to highlight, so there's 2 versions currently on the town's website. The charter has a page, if you go up in its committees, under the committees tab, we have a Charter Commission page. And if you click on that, both versions that we're proposing are affairs documents. This red?
Yeah, at the bottom of the page. So
they're at the bottom of the page is PDFs, and people can also request a printed version. We can provide printed copies if anyone would like one of those. And just some major talking points of the changes that we put forward. As I mentioned, one version has a town manager and one version does not. That's going to be something that will potentially contentious with people, so we wanted to give the option, and I think that's the way it was proposed with the 2015 commission as well on the ballot. We went through, actually, Rod Cooper specifically had gone through and really taken some time to update the town history, as well as include the charter commission history, where this would potentially be the second iteration of the charter. Based on state law that was passed in 2021, we incorporated gender-neutral terminology throughout the document. We have a proposal for term limits for elected officials. We have proposed the consistent town meeting time in June. And we've completely revamped Section 4, which was the section that went through personnel policy. I talked about a fair hearing officer, and we're proposing a fair hearing board of people. We're proposing quarterly budget review in both versions. And then we've added a glossary as well as a new org chart. So, for purposes of this presentation, we welcome any feedback or questions that anybody has. And then we also just welcome anybody to submit any feedback, questions, input. I know it's not the most leisurely reading to look at a document that's full of strike through and edits and highlights, but we welcome everyone's feedback because it's a really important document for the operations of the town. Does anybody else have anything that they want to add from the commission?
Good.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
It's a lot of reading.
It's good reading, though.
Yeah. The strike through function is saved as a favorite on my word. Yeah.
Okay, the cemetery committee.
Thanks.
Yes.
We're here. I'm Katrina Randall.
I'm Steve. Did you guys get a chance to read our proposal? The last meeting, going to show. I didn't think anybody had read it before then. But see what we were trying to do.
The proposal on tree removal in the summer?
Yeah, we want to get rid of the trees by the centennial, which is 2026. We have 15 plots left that I can't cut the trees in there anymore. They're too big or dangerous, or there's, you know, they'll fall and hit headstones or walls or whatever. So we have to hire somebody to do it. It'll probably take a bucket truck. We've recovered 100 of them. Own. And they're done. All you have to do from now on is mow.
So you guys got, so I wasn't at the last meeting, but what did we agree, Steve? Was it, did you, your write-up?
Yeah.
Did you guys have a chance to?
We have a proposed budget, and we have reviewed that. We've also done some checking to see where grants can be applied for to offset the cost of this, and that it is a work in progress.
Can we get a go-ahead with, I mean, we can't do a thing.
No.
Okay.
Do a thing.
If we have a situation where, because this is what happens, we show up at a cemetery we haven't seen since last fall and find a tree has taken it out, are we able to ask that somebody, we hire somebody to come and deal with that? Or could you guys please think about that?
If there's money in your budget, yes. If there's no money, no.
No. Okay.
What we're asking for is the money.
So you need to meet up with us so that we can point you in the direction to find grants. There are some out there.
You want us to go find the grants? Did you say?
Well, yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Yes, but we're willing to help you find where they are. So you
we can do that. I mean, yes, sure. Do send them along, but it's exhausting work.
Okay,
thank you. Anything else?
No.
Shield? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys, for hearing us.
All right, so we need to open the bids for the transfer station and the sign enclosure.
I'm going to do the five knots for people.
It is up next on the list.
I'm sorry.
It is next.
I didn't read it. Thank you.
No. I'll go first and read this one.
I don't know. Any idea of it? For example?
Okay, I'll read the first one that I've got.
Okay.
Okay, this is for the transfer station for the new lighting and electrical wiring to make it more efficient and better coverage so that when we have nighttime hours, it's much safer. So he has it listed out fairly well. The total amount is $24,680.
Who is it?
It is MED Inc. out of Gorham, Maine. John?
I've got the same thing Rusty does. I just have a bit specs. So no, you got different bit specs?
Mine was for power to the sign, which is already there.
Get close.
So.
Oh, okay. The cost of wiring for insulation is described above in the boxes and all other conductors. This is for the salt shed. Is $3,760. And this is MED Incorporated. I see what they did. So this is just facilitate the installation of Cat 6. Aether?
Yeah, it's network cable.
Network cable at the transfer station and salt shed. Each Cat 6 cable shall be home runs from the main building. Cables will be aerial rated with messenger cabling when needed. Cat 6 internet cabling should be aerial rated as well as underground rated. Where cabling is below grade or run along salt shed building, it will be installed in conduit. Digging for below grade shall be done by others. So this is the cost for wiring for installation as described. And the boxes and other conductors, conduit materials, labor, shall be $3,760. But as I read this, that does not include excavation.
Correct.
Okay.
But there probably will be none because it's all going to go from pole to pole, pole to building.
Okay.
And then the one place is along the salt shed. It will run along the base of the foundation, but it'll be in conduit.
I gotcha.
Tom?
This is the Maine Highlands Contracting out of Beaver Cove, Maine. This is the project scope was to construct an enclosure and A-frame roof for the digital sign in front of the town hall to be done as follows. Enclosure will be an A-frame roof, an overhang on the sides, must allow for ventilation, must have access to front and rear. Final siding of roof shingles to match town hall will be constructed on top of existing concrete slab and tying into existing wall structure. $25,875.
What?
Correct.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Tom, Tom, can you hear me?
Yes.
Are you referring to the sign out front?
Yes.
$25,000?
Yes.
Yeah, you meant round file that. That's
all I'm doing is reading the bids.
No, are you sure the punctuation is correct?
We had one other quote we got.
If he was here, he could look at it.
We had one other quote that we got almost 2 months ago, and it was for $2,300 for the same job.
$2,300.
I don't know why you don't have it, but you should have had that in the package.
I don't have it.
I will get it to you.
This is $25,875.
Yeah.
He's got quite a long ways to come to.
Well, it is. It is, yes.
Something like that.
We do have another one.
It's better. To facilitate the installation of Cat 6 Ethernet cabling at the transfer station and salt shed to be done will be as follows. Do I need to read all the specs? Okay. That one came to $37,975. And then electrical work and installation to add LED lighting as described below. Main building, recycling area, very extensive here. That's $88,975.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. If we can pass the metal, we'll keep it all together.
Thank you.
Wow.
Hey, do you have your document that has something on the side?
You know, this one's electrical, but electrical's already there. It's running.
Right, but that's the only other piece that I was given regarding
the side. We'll take that away.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you, sir. Okay, the next section is our public input, where people can have 5 minutes to relay to all of us what they would like to provide. I'm going to caution you that you get to speak once, not multiple times, and to please be polite. Yes, Michelle.
Right. I have something I'd like to read to you, gentlemen. Integrity, honor, transparency, and the ability to remain neutral. These are things, to me, that are important to how I live my life. In June of 2021, I applied to be a member of the Ordinance Review Committee. After this hearing, the select board talked about needing volunteers and needing to get the board going. I was willing to give up my time, but was actually looking forward to learning more about our town as it operates. September 2021, I received an email to review an ordinance, but with no information on what I was to review. After a month and a half of trying to get someone to respond to me and get the information necessary to start, I decided I wasn't going to fight to volunteer. So I submitted my resignation in November of 2021. Not one of you responded to the email of my resignation that was sent directly to you. A courtesy received would have been appreciated. Not once has my resignation been voted on in a meeting, but a vote to let me rescind my resignation has been reappointed has been done and is now awaiting signing of my appointment. My question regarding this matter is, what has taken so long? Why is no one speaking up to remedy the situation and do it legally and according to our charter? My other question is, why am I being talked about in executive session? I am a private citizen, and it is illegal to talk about me in an executive session without me knowing or my right to be present when you are speaking of me. Talking about me because you are unhappy with how I admin a private Facebook page or what I post there is not a reason for executive session. It is an absolute abuse of power. A few direct quotes I like to read. I do believe that we need to listen to people and listen to what they say. If they want to look into changing ordinances, okay. I definitely think we need to listen to what people say. That's what we're here for. Another quote. The most important part is just listening to their voices, not throwing out their opinions because it's not your opinion. You represent the people. It's their opinion, and that should be your opinion. That's what being elected and representing your town is all about. I just feel that we need to listen to the people. Rusty, these are quotes from you on candidate night. Where were you protecting them standing up for my personal voice and opinions in an illegal executive session? Where are you protecting the voice of the people as you sit on the board? I was told by Bill in a phone call that you all agreed that he and Dave should have a cup of coffee with me and talk about things. Dave thinks I have it out for him and is not willing to vote me on Ordinance Review Committee then. I was also told in the same phone call with Bill that if I met with him and Dave and could see things their way and agreed to run the page a certain way, he'd have Dave make the motion to put me on the Ordinance Review Committee, which already was put back on with the rescinding of my resignation and a vote check that night. I've never felt so, excuse the word, icky in my entire life. Do you think that I can be manipulated or coerced is something I cannot even fathom. The ORC is a volunteer committee, and I was willing to volunteer my time for you. And if you want to try to bribe me with a seat by seeing things your way and running a private Facebook page the way you want run, that is inexcusable and beyond reprehensible. Needless to say, I did not meet anyone for coffee. Dave, I don't have it out for you. Actually, I very much wanted Cousins to be the town hall for some or some sort of community center. I even voted for it in the last town straw poll. If the rest of the board didn't know about any of this and it's a surprise to you, I'm sorry you're finding out this way. If any of you knew and said nothing to stop it, shame on all of you. You're servants of the people. How are you serving the people of this town? With integrity, honor, transparency, willingness to listen to others and not judge them? You feel you have the right to judge them by Facebook post? What's next? Religion? Orientation? Where do you draw the line? I respectfully ask you to make a final decision on my application in addition to the ordinance review committee tonight, publicly for all to hear. I will not have aspersions or coercions or dishonesty associated with my reputation and integrity. And Bill, if I have misconstrued or misinterpreted what you said in that phone call in any way, please do speak up and let me know exactly what you meant, as I do not want to wrongly accuse you of anything, and I will publicly apologize.
May I say something, Michelle?
Yes.
The cup of coffee, I knew about that, but that was for me and you to sit down and clear the air about my name being slandered on your site. Nothing. Wait a minute. There was nothing. There was no quid pro quo. There was nothing talked about to me about putting you back on. I actually voted for you to be on. So I didn't vote for you to get off. I didn't, you know, want you not to come back. I had no opinion on that. So I'm not
relaying the conversation that was had. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any input at this point? Lee,
can I come up?
Sure.
I'm going to sit because I've been on my feet for 12 hours. Good evening. Dear Lyman Board of Selectmen, thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. For those here in the audience and those watching at home who may not know me, let me introduce myself. My name is Lee Schatz. I have lived here in Lyman with my wife, Jill, and daughter Emily for 33 years. My wife is a third-generation Lyman resident. Sadly, it seems that Lyman has created its own version of the Moody Mean Girls. There are individuals in this town who will lie, falsely accuse, and bully those of us who are detrimental to their narrative. They have no problem trying to destroy our good names and reputations at any cost. I will address this shortly. But first, a little background on me. I had the privilege of directing Lyman Parks and Recreation for 13 years until 2015. I've also served as a member of the Second Charter Commission, and most recently have been appointed to serve on the Ordinance Review Committee. I've been honored to work with many outstanding and dedicated Lyman residents throughout my many years of service to this community. I'd like to digress and take a few minutes to go back in time to 2011. That year, I was bestowed with the great honor of having the 2011 Town of Lyman annual report dedicated to me for my many years of service to the community. I'm not reading this dedication in search of praise, but rather to show folks here tonight, in the words of John Tibbetts, just what disruptive and unprofessional person I am to work with. I'm going to take a few minutes to read this. Dedication. We respectfully dedicate this annual report to Lee D. Schatz, Lyman Parks and Recreation Director. Lee's volunteer involvement originated in Lyman when he joined the board of the Alpha Lyman Little League. In the early 2000s, a group of Little League parents and volunteers in the Parks and Rec Department came together to build a concession stand at Bucknut Field. That experience was so rewarding, and he became a volunteer at the department and is still contributing today, 2011. Along with a group of dedicated volunteers, he has worked diligently to improve the condition of Bucknut Park and the town fields. This has included leading the renovation and expansion of an old building at Bucknut, which now houses the Camp Marlin Summer Camp Program of the Sanford Springville YMCA campers, contracting with the Sanford Springville YMCA staff and oversee the operations of Bucknut Park, installing the irrigation system at Bucknut Field, and overseeing the maintenance of Bucknut, Burnier, and Chaplin Fields. We and Lyman Parks and Recreation Volunteer Committee continue to create numerous programs and activities offerings each year. These offerings provide entertainment to residents of Lyman, employment opportunities through the Sanford Springville YMCA for positions at Bucknut Park, and other community service opportunities to Massapequa High School students. I won't tell you about the hundreds of programs. In closing, it says, thank you, Lee Schatz, Lyman Parks and Recreation Director, for your many years of dedication to the town of Lyman. In February this year, I was informed that the Ordinance Review Committee was in dire need of members. I applied, went through the vetting process, and was confirmed by a majority of the board. John Tibbetts was the opposing vote. This is where the fun begins. What I'm about to explain is a perfect example of why Lyman residents don't volunteer for town committees. At the March 7th selecting meeting, selecting John Tibbetts, I might add out of the blue, attempted to assassinate my good name and character by accusing me of being disruptive and unprofessional without any proof, justification, or provocation, all because he didn't get his way regarding the ordinance review committee appointee vote. For the record, this is the second time in 7 years that Mr. Tibbetts has attempted to destroy my good name. What Mr. Tibbetts neglected to mention is that he and I had a chance meeting at Market Basket a few weeks ago, just after the board vote. He told me face-to-face that I indeed had his vote if his two choices had been approved by the board. John Tibbetts never intended to vote for me, period. Yet again, as he did back in 2015, Mr. Tibbetts lied right to my face and then proceeded to throw me under the bus in the public forum. It's my turn to set the record straight anyway. Mr. Tibbetts, you had no public opposition to my appointment to the Second Charter Commission, yet all of a sudden you have the audacity to call me disruptive and unprofessional. Mr. Tibbetts, in my 13 years as Parks and Recreation Director, I don't ever recall you attending a single Parks and Recreation meeting, participating in any one of the hundreds of events, or lifting one finger to help us make Lyman a better community. Yet all of a sudden you have the audacity to call me disruptive and unprofessional. Mr. Tibbetts, you played a major role in my separation as Parks and Recreation Director in 2015. Point of fact, Parks and Recreation was a great department until you became one of the part of one of the most destructive and divisive boards this town has seen in decades. Yet all of a sudden you have the audacity to call me disruptive and unprofessional. Mr. Tibbetts has a long-standing history of playing both ends against the middle. I could take a page out of John Tibbetts' playbook, humiliate, embarrass him in a public forum like he tried to do to me on March 7th, but I refuse to stoop that low. Besides, John Tibbetts is doing a very good job of humiliating himself without anyone's help. Secondly, just about 3 weeks ago, and I wish Jeff Demers was in the audience tonight. Jeff Demers, a former Lyman selectman and board chair, submitted a Freedom of Access Act request with the selectman's clerk, Donna, wanting to access my town personnel file. He made a special mention on the request that this information was very time sensitive. Remember, I have not been employed by the town of Lyman for almost 7 years. Coincidentally, Mr. Demers has retained the services of attorney Sigmund Schutz, a prestigious Portland law firm, Freddie Flaherty. Attorney Schutz is one of the finest and most knowledgeable lawyers on freedom of information and freedom of access issues in the United States today. Ask yourself, what is Jeff Demers looking for in my town personnel file? I asked Jeff the same question during a recent telephone call, and his reply, this has nothing to do with you. Well, then all the BS meters explode on that response. When I finished with my time, and again, I wish Jeff was here, I would have extended him an invitation to take the floor and address all of us and explain why, after 7 years of my departure from this town, why he wants to look at my personnel file. Might it just have something to do with the ordinance review committee vote and the people who I associate with here in Lyman? Remember my Mean Girls analogy a few minutes ago, folks? In conclusion, what a coincidence that Jeff Demers and John Tibbetts both retained the same law firm of Freddie Flaherty at the same time for reasons yet to be determined. In spite of what John Tibbetts and Jeff Demers will lead you to believe, my reputation as a citizen of this community, a volunteer and paid employee for 13 years stands on its own merits. I am extremely proud of my many positive and beneficial accomplishments and contributions to the town of Lyman, which will benefit the residents of this town for many years to come. Thank you for your time.
May I respond?
This is the public input time.
I've got a public input when it's my turn, though.
Okay. What we get to?
Okay. I'll go last.
Yes, thank you.
I'm not a real political person, and I don't come to a lot of these meetings, but every time I come to a meeting, things happen, and I never hear answers or resolving. This young lady here tonight, with her really powerful concern, you guys don't say anything. I'm like, how do you just drop that and not address it? Now, maybe there are forums Maybe there's somewhere that we can go that I don't know of, but it breaks my heart that this lady is so upset and nobody has a comment about it. I don't know if I just don't know where the resources are, but this is the second time I've come to a meeting where there's been an issue like that. I'm like, what? Hey guys, what are we doing? Do you know what I'm saying? Do I just not know the answer? Is there a place I can go? Instead of bitching, how do I fix things? How do we get an answer? I mean, my God, I mean, even Lee with his Mean Girls analogy. I don't know all the details of the nitty gritty or political, but my God, recognize somebody who has an issue and say, and maybe you do, maybe after the meeting you go up to this young lady and say, let's chat, let's get together, let's do this, but to leave people hanging, that's how I feel right now, and I'm not even involved, and maybe that's why I don't even want to come to these things, because they're not fun, they're not enjoyable, they're not educational for our town, for our public. That's all I get to say. Unless you guys want
to say something. Thank you. We appreciate your input on that. And all I can really say at this point is that when we respond back, it's got to be a board that's responding back, not an individual. And we can't always answer on the spot till we get to verify what we can say legally.
Yeah, and that's great. But what's the forum that I'm going to hear what the answer is to this young lady's problem?
You're probably going to see some of that tonight.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead, Scott.
Slide Cash, I just think that maybe, Bill, the whole board, I think that maybe if you would explain what the 5 minutes is about, you know, based on statute, based on MMA handbook for the board, maybe just a description of. My understanding is it's a time for folks to speak, but it isn't a time for back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay? So maybe just explaining that. And Bill, I just have to say, if you do it for one, you have to do it for another. If you let Dave speak towards what someone says in the audience, you really need to do it for all.
Thank you. Yes.
Jennifer Fowler, do I need to tell my address and all that stuff?
I can't hear you.
Do I need to do my address and all that?
Just so we know who you are.
Jennifer Fowler, Davis Road. When I was approached to join the Ordinance Review Committee, I was a bit hesitant, but after a brief explanation of what it entailed, I thought it would be interesting and a good way for me to get involved in the town I specifically chose to live in, and members were desperately needed. After what I thought to be a successful interview and a recommendation by the review committee, I was surprised to learn, excuse me, I was rejected by the select board based on a singled out, out of context comment made on a lengthy thread on a private Facebook page. I've passed through Lyman for more than 10 years, traveling to and from work, and when we were in the market to purchase a new home, our target areas were Lyman and Dayton. We wanted a small town with limited services in a country setting. We also wanted a small government body and was happy we hadn't heard any negative comments about the town hall employees. I lived and served as a firefighter EMT in two different towns that the select boards are a complete disaster and have taken it even more so now to the next level to not only overreach in their decisions, but to alienate the very people they serve with their condescending attitudes and good old boys club. The drama has gone so far as people have been arrested or escorted off properties, both private and town. I didn't want that to be a town that I lived in. Fortunately, Lyman hasn't gotten that far, to my knowledge, but it's disappointing to see some questionable behaviors here as well. My hope is that each of you do the right thing for the town and its residents in all aspects of your service to the town and to put your personal endeavors and opinions aside. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi, Mike Rancourt. I'm on Murphy's Way. I actually, ironically, got to talk about this because I just came here tonight for the meeting to indicate that I had submitted an application for the Ordinance Review Committee, but I never heard back. I know it made it, I mean, I didn't get a bounce back on email, so I submitted it by email, but I was just kind of confident. I don't know if there was a reason for that, or, you know, normally you get an acknowledgement that, you know, you've received it, and thank you, or, you know, either later or whatever, but I just like that. Just wanted to indicate that I had submitted an application, and I just didn't have anything. Thank you.
You will hear something back by tomorrow.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, that's right, email.
Okay. Yes.
Too bad we couldn't speak more than once. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Bob.
Bob St. Ange. We have two board members that are now overseers of human resources and personnel on Rusty. I have a question for you, Luke. I'm of the understanding that a short while back you went through the town vault looking at records in regards to employees. My question to you is, there were two sexual allegations, sexual harassment complaints filed to the Board of Selectmen from the former treasurer, Lisa Vargas, involving former Selectman Dulong, and Patty, involving, she sat right here and read her complaint with Mr. Tibbetts. Are those records, are those complaints in the town vault, in their files?
Well, the question is, neither one was sexual harassment.
I don't know about that.
Well, I don't think I would say anything.
Not well, there's comments being made, the women were very upset and it was way out of line. So those should be in the file, in the vault as part of the town record. I'm asking if they're there or not.
Without specifically looking for that information, okay. I can't tell you it's there.
All right.
When I'm requested to go in and look at something, I go specifically for that. We go through that. We have multiple people watching as we go through that file.
Yeah.
It's, but that's the, I go in for that. That's it. We come back out. I don't, we haven't gone through everybody's files.
So,
and for the record, I did not go in and look at these files. That was Rusty. He was able to do it.
So maybe can we get an answer to that?
So we couldn't confirm that because it's confidential.
No, I'm not asking what was in the complaint. I'm asking if the complaint is in the file.
If there is a result report, we can make that available. But anything else, we can't talk about.
You can answer the question as to whether those documents are in the vault. Yes, you can. Okay. Nobody's asking any specifics of what was said, just whether they're there. All right. I will, again, request that information down the road before I pursue it further. I was here at the last selectman's meeting, but I did watch it on YouTube. And in my opinion, Mr. Tibbetts has become a cancer to that board and to this town. For the way that he accused individually each one of you of some form of corruption or collusion. And he stood here the other night at a public meeting saying he was not going to support Dave Ellis' project, but we better keep our eye on the rest of you. That can't be allowed to happen. I'm sorry. He has taken this way out of whack. Then there was an individual in the crowd saying that you are all equal. And what authority do you have to censor him? And you are not equal when he pulls the actions that he's pulled in regards to the complaints that have been filed. And you have all the authority under Robert's Rules of Order or parliamentary procedure to censor that individual. That's where you get your authority from. It's not in any state statute, it's not in any law, but it is there. And you're allowing it to get out of hand again, and it needs to be dealt with. So it's not good for the town.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I got like 5 minutes.
Oh, you wanted to be at the end, so I'm waiting.
Okay.
To make
sure. Can I just say something? I'm Jackie Rancourt. I just wanted to say that I've been watching all this happen, so it's kind of sad, really. But, you know, mentioning to, you know, Mr. St. Ange's comment, people have a public ability to talk about what they feel. And I think John Tibbetts has the same knowledge. Everybody does. So when you're sitting in this audience, you can say what you want to say, because that's your opportunity, like I am right now. But we have to remember, we're people. Right? We're talking about people. We're talking about their personal lives. We're talking about their public lives. Like, as a town, we're never going to get along if we don't think about people as people. And it might upset people, like what you do or what you do. But in the public, everyone has their opinion of what's in their heart, what they believe, and what they stand for. And I think we need to respect that, all of us. But as long as we're being respectful to each other, we should be allowed to talk. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else have something they want to add? Okay, John.
Thank you. I believe board members exhibited bias by approving the only applicant who had expressed unwavering favor for all of Dave Al's projects, which he vehemently defends. I believe board members, David Al's, Bill Single, and Rusty Blackington exhibited conflict of interest by not disclosing their financial interest as contractors doing business in town. Because their firms are governed by the ordinances of the committee they would be clarifying or creating, they are required to disclose that financial interest and abstain from voting. Board members did not serve the public interest because they didn't disclose Lee's prior select board's criticism he received related to genuine issues with his work performance. Quoted from Maine Human Rights Commission investigator Michelle Dion. Didn't disclose Lee's unsubstantiated human rights charges of retaliation he brought against the town in 2013 when he was reprimanded by a prior board for those genuine issues with his work performance. Didn't disclose in 2015 Lee applied pressure to the select boards to obtain a payout to resign in lieu of battling a nuisance lawsuit. I didn't disclose Lee's troubling history to the hiring committee who they employed for the first time when evaluating volunteers. Since they don't talk to me, I can only conclude this was done to receive a positive recommendation fully and give the impression that their vote was above board. Although my assessment of Lee Schatz is that he is unfit to serve the town of Lyman in any position, I mistakenly thought that all I could do was vote no at the time. I did not know what information I could divulge about Lee because he was a former employee. Since then, I have learned what I can say. I think we should nullify the vote by selectmen on February 22nd, 22, approving Lee Schatz's application to the Ordinance Review Committee on the grounds that three selectmen, William Single, Ralph Blackington, and David Owls, did not disclose their financial interest as required by MSRA Title 30A, number 26-5, and abstain from voting. I believe the board's members exhibited bias and did not serve the public interest by ignoring or voting against seven qualified volunteer applicants, all of whom expressed that the town needs to adopt clear ordinances that do not conflict with our other ordinances, our comprehensive plan and Maine statutes, and by approving the only applicant who has expressed unwavering favor for all Dave Al's projects. Because the majority of this board have conflict of interest regarding appointing members to the ORC, I would suggest to revote as a whole all applicants who were either ignored or rejected or approved on the Town Lyman Ordinance Review Committee. This will remove any questions of bias and conflict of interest of any one individual.
John, can I ask you a question, please, if you don't mind?
Sure.
So are you saying that I'm making money because Lee might be on an ordinance review committee, or I'm paying him in some way, he's making money. Can you just clarify that?
Absolutely not. I'm just citing the ordinance. It's right in the MMA manual. I quoted it directly, Dave.
But you're saying there is a conflict of interest. I'm just curious where the conflict is.
Would you like me to read it again?
No, definitely not.
Okay. I didn't bring you anything that I didn't look up. Everything I've given you tonight is from my research and facts I've found.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
I'm a contractor, so I can't vote on a person to be on a warrant committee. I built decks for a living.
Like, come on.
Okay, all right.
This is fucking wild.
All right, that is input. Okay, I would like to move on, please.
Answer's term.
Before I go on, is there anybody else that would like to have some public input? Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to... to the mail.
I'd like some public input.
Dave, coming up in 1 minute. Okay? There are several letters from DOT, et cetera, that are in online available for everybody to read, and from Charter Communications. And then I have one letter from a lady here I would like to read before we get into the next section. This is from Carrie Jo Sampson. It says 44 Reagan Lynn Road, Lyman. She says, I'm a proud military veteran. Integrity is very important to me. So is honor. For the ability of this process, we get to experience at every board or committee meeting. Honor for every individual and their right to be heard. And hope that the residents of this town are as good as I believe. And that these meetings, which are meant to better the town, can also see better from its residents. I enjoyed talking with folks after the last select board meeting. I may not agree with all you said, and I'm sure you didn't agree with all I said, but I appreciate that we both listened and treated the other person with respect. Why isn't that the same mentality used during these meetings? That brings me to my comments at the last select meeting that I wanted to readdress. When I said I was appalled at the meeting I had attended, I was mostly referencing the hostility in the gallery. I understand people have grievances and concerns. What I don't understand is how quickly it goes from comments to mudslinging. Comments such as, we're taxpayers, so you answer to us, or slanderous comments implying corruption with no supporting information. Yes, you have the right to speak your mind. What I am saying is yelling and derogatory comments just deteriorates any progress or solution you may want. If any board member responded in any manner to your outburst, there would be outrage. You've asked for a code of ethics for all town employees to be held to. I wonder if the gallery will also adhere to these during meetings. It is clear at these meetings that there are long-term friendships. Maybe some old grievances and disputes between residents and board members, none of which should have any bearing on these meetings from residents or board members. Comments about one board member smirking, but no comment when another board member winked to a friend in the gallery. Childish. Everyone here is intelligent, has life experience, and understands the democratic process. Use it. Make your statements and leave the personal grievances out of it. A reminder, the board members, like you, are also residents and taxpayers. Yes, their job behind that desk is working to better the town, but they are also people. Please try keeping both in mind. The other concern I had at the last meeting was regarding the statement made by one of the board, and that it was made as a selectman and not during the public session. It was the final comment in which you slandered members of the council to include these words.
I didn't see the word courage on your campaign ads. What was the point of that? I can say to me, slanderous remarks like that make everything else you say irrelevant. Lastly, I would recommend to the board, before the public speaking portion of each meeting, that you make a statement each time and publish on the agenda along the lines of, this time is for public comments and questions. Questions will not be answered by the board during this meeting. They will be addressed by the board as a whole, and the board will present its answers or findings by the next scheduled meeting. If the board is unable to answer the question fully, an update will be given at that time. So we go into the next section, which is complaints. And Kelly Jo Sampson. Okay. So, John. Yes, she was here last week. John Tibbetts. Your accusations deserve a response from the board. Would anybody like to respond to that?
I do.
Okay,
Dave. I do.
At its worst, that is corrupt to me.
Not louder. Can't hardly hear you, Dave.
Are we in for selectmen because town hall?
Brandon.
We lost him. Dave, can you hear us?
Yep.
Okay.
You need to get closer to your mic.
Speak loudly, please.
Okay. The board was falsely accused of corruption and cover-up by John Tibbetts. I personally would like to know the details to that statement. In my opinion, John puts out these outrageous charges, again, like he did tonight, just to start a narrative around town. This deception is to destroy this board and any individual that he does not like. This is politics at its worst, and that is corrupt to me. I ran for selectman because town hall employees were being bullied and threatened. John was the chairman. John accused this board of coordinating votes. That's not true. John personally told me when he was chair, the way around the three-person meeting was to speak at one at a time, then get consensus on the vote. That sounds like what he's accusing this board of. We don't do that. We get consensus on day-to-day operations of town hall or the town in general. We do not coordinate votes. You called Lee Schatz unprofessional and disruptive. The same can be easily applied to you, John. You stated information that seemed to violate any non-disclosure agreement that may have been made. Town council should be informed of your public comments. This was 8 years ago. I had no knowledge of any of this. But once again, you seem to be involved in some town turmoil. I would like to know a little bit more about what your involvement was. Why is your vote better than anyone else's on the board? You seem to criticize when the vote does not go your way. In my opinion, you are the only one who has tried to coordinate votes. Like the vote of changing the town clerk from elected to appointed. You spoke to me on several occasions. You explained why you wanted to do it and pushed it forward. I voted against it. Please, tell the town residents what you told me and why you were pushing this forward. And maybe the town clerk should be in front of you when you do. You say that the board does not answer questions during the 5 minute of input. It was my understanding that this was the time for public to speak, not a Q&A session. When there are questions to be answered, it should be answered not by a board of one. We are a board of five. It should be put on the agenda and then discussed. If I'm wrong about this understanding of the process, please let me know. You say we violated our oath and we should be embarrassed. In my opinion, You've been a part of changing ordinances and weaponizing some to hurt certain residents. Is that the corruption and cover-up in violation of your oath you're speaking of? You mentioned my slogan. My slogan was a time for change. The change was to stop the bullying of town hall employees. In my opinion, you are the only sitting selectman that has been accused of anything. In my opinion, the last two or three ordinances that were changed under your leadership potentially inflicted undue burden of cost and potential loss of some of the residents' property rights. That's why I'm so passionate with the Charter Commission. I also believe that they were changed by a few to affect specific landowners. Is that even legal? Ordinances were drafted and pushed by only a few people, but that change most likely did not affect their property. Did it affect yours, John? John Tibbetts was in leadership during these times. In my opinion, there were some controversial changes to our ordinances, and the timing of the changes were very suspect. These changes helped his friends, and that was more important to him than making sure that the people that it would negatively affect be notified and given the respect they deserve as taxpayers. Is this the coordination you speak of? I have the duties of the selectman that I believe I am fulfilling. John Tibbetts has tried to make an issue of this board not having MMA training, which is parroted by his support team. I looked into that, and it seems we all have been trained. But John's training was done in 2014. He tries to give the public the illusion that he is the only one that looks after the town. I have volunteered for special assignments when asked, such as a liaison to KRT, the company that was hired to do the revaluation for the town. On 8/17/2020, the town assessor read his resignation in public on YouTube. Maybe you should rewatch this and remind yourselves what this town went through during John's tenure of being chair. Is this the corruption and the condescending talk you speak of, John? The assessor agreed to stay on for 2 weeks and then come in as needed to work through any issues with the revaluation. John walked him out the door 2 days later. Was there a vote taken to approve this action? Did you do it unilaterally? Was there an exit interview so the town could assess where they were in the process of the revaluation? I believe this unilateral action required immediate removal from office. Why was John allowed to do this and keep his position? This created tax chaos and many questions. John then went on to blame the assessor for all the issues. After that, he decided to publicly state that it was the fault of the reval company and they were unprofessional, a word John seems to use often, but won't apply it to himself. Never once did I hear him take any responsibility for his actions or lack thereof. These actions set off a series of events that, in my opinion, put the town at risk of multiple lawsuits from employees to outside contractors. And here he seems to be doing it again by possibly violating his non-disclosure. In my opinion, this is not the first time John has violated his executive session material. This board had to deal with the chaos created by some of your past actions. Employees resigning. We had no assessor. This led to the tax bills not going out or taxes not being collected in the proper time frame. The arrogance of you and the past board members spreading false allegations around town, stating it was the actions of this board that led to the chaos of town hall. That was not true. In my opinion, John Tibbetts from the beginning has acted against this board for selfish political gain. You have used your experience of 8 years to purposely create the illusion of chaos. You watched and documented any mistakes only to hurt the members of this board. You would sit quiet if a motion or vote was not done correctly, only to use it later as a means of discussion to undermine, ridicule, and accuse this board of wrongdoing. On occasions, you would vote for items, but not sign the paperwork. Is that what you meant by plausible deniability? In my opinion, John is not telling the truth. but makes up his own set of facts, so it will undermine this the confidence of this board. Is that what he meant when he said he would do what he had to do to get his buddy back in town hall? John wanted to give me a key to town hall when I first started. He said, we go in at night and do our research. Why would I need to go in at night and do research? To this day, I do not have a key to town hall. This was one of the reasons why I made the motion to take all the keys from the selectmen and to change all the locks at town hall. Does this sound corrupt? Is this his transparency? Is everyone in town okay with the selectmen researching their files at night? John claims this board is not transparent. This board voted to implement Zoom and YouTube at meetings. They installed a sign out in front that has up-to-date information on it, installed a new website, installed the new iWorks program that is interactive with the residents. Do these things sound like anything but transparency? Although the sign was controversial, in the end, I voted for it. At the time, I thought it was going back to the voters. But it was John Tibbetts that said, I know how to get around the vote. Take it out of the capital improvement fund and the residents won't know. Does this sound like he was against it as he leads people to believe? Is that transparency? Nope, it's not. That's his 8 years of experience working for the residents of the town. John told me he never turned on his computer 7 years into his term. Why? Because of plausible deniability. That's a quote from him to me. Is that his transparency? John accused this board of improperly speaking in executive sessions. And I will, on the side note, I don't remember speaking about Michelle in executive session. And if we did, then the board needs to publicly apologize to her. If there was speaking of that, he never spoke out during these sessions saying anything was wrong. He always participated. But it's now the rest of the board that is doing something wrong. I personally have been lied about, slandered, chastised, ridiculed, defamed, and much more. And it just stays online. Somehow, John, with his 8 years of experience, is a victim. A victim of what? In my opinion, I do not believe he's working for the best of the town, but working for a few friends in town and wants to get power back. Yes, power. A word that the Charter Commission struck from the revised proposed charter. There is no place for someone in public office if they want power. That's why I am for a town manager to take some of John's so-called power away. I tried to work with you, John, anywhere I could. You can't deny that. But here you go again with false accusations. You just throw them out there to try and make yourself a hero of the town and a victim at the same time. Why? Why do we really have to go through this in public meetings? You mentioned your 8 years on the board. Our roads are not the best they could be. The transfer station is almost in complete disrepair. You claim the ordinances are in desperate need of updating. What did you do for 8 years? I have another question. A selectman tried to contact the ZBA chairman while there was an appeal on the residence project. Was that you, John? Did you try to interfere with an application before the town? Is that corruption? Is that ethical? Is that transparent? Is that working for the residents of the town? If it was you, John, you should be removed from office. The ZBA chairman had the professionalism not to accept any discussion on the matter and reported it as such. I am not embarrassed, nor should the people that voted for me. My intentions are honest, and I have worked hard to keep my promise and oath to the town. I learn every day about this position and how this board can make it better. but the way you conduct yourself by, in my opinion, abusing your position is getting very tiresome, and it needs to be called out every time you do this from now on. I do believe you should be embarrassed by your actions. In my opinion, you have used your 8 years of experience to undermine, set traps, and make false accusations instead of being an elder statesman helping the board with necessary guidance when the need exists. And you should have been working for the good of the town instead of working for a few of your friends. Another reason to have term limits. You made a statement that we all hate you. I do not hate you, John, but I do think the residents are paying attention to your actions as well as your false accusations. In closing, in my opinion, it seems that the person doing the disseminating of all this false allegations is the one that needs to be looked into. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Tom.
This is to the citizens of town of Lyman for myself. This is my opinion. This is the minority report rebuttal from March 7th Board of Selectmen meeting. I am not a fan of gossip, slander, or accusations. Generally speaking, when this type of communication surfaces, those being affected must respond, and by doing so, take valuable time away from the business which needs to be accomplished. However, I feel the need to respond to the highly inflammatory and false accusations made by Mr. Tibbetts on the March 7th board meeting. 8 months ago, I was sworn into office as a selectman for the town of Lyman. When I ran for this position, I campaigned with the words truth, honesty, integrity, ownership. For me, these virtues still exist, and I use them to serve in this position. These values have been tested at almost every board meeting and dealing with past practices from former boards. I have attempted to form my own opinions and decisions based on facts and regulations. Due to the employees' discontent, my top priority was to work with staff to find a way for them to feel valued and safe in their workplace. Make the town of Lyman be an employer of choice. And employ people who want to be part of the team. As a freshman selectman, I realized there are many things to learn. I have attended MMA seminars, searched to find needed information, and asked many questions. But you know the best source of information? Experience. When I came to the board, one of the first statements I made to the members was that we need to work as a team. Also, I also stated that if we did not all work as a team, it would be difficult to accomplish the business of the town. John, as a senior selectman, your role should be to mentor. Instead, you choose to undermine us at every turn. You have shown time and time again that you are not a team player. You have worked against the members of this board and at times have set us up to fail. You have used vulgar language in a public meeting. You have walked out of an executive session and you have conspired against this board towards your own agenda. I call that disgraceful and embarrassing behavior. I have asked you many times, what is your end game? I'm still not sure. Going back to my earlier remarks about my top priorities in regards to making the town hall a safe place to work, John, you were part of the reason town hall employees did not feel safe. The townspeople have forgotten how the town almost lost its CEO because of the bullying, harassment, and intimidation that was taking place by former select board members, including yourself. You do have many years of experience in town government and could be an asset to a freshman selectman like myself. I have listened, agreed, and sometimes complimented you on your knowledge and insight. But then you go and either pull out a prepared statement, for example, the motion for the marijuana moratorium, or set us up to fail proper procedures for executive session, like at the last meeting. After it was stated that we did not have the proper MRSA citation to go in an executive session for personnel matters, I asked for the motion to be qualified. John, you responded, quote, yep, qualified, please, and thank you. And then when we voted, you voted no, knowing that it was improper procedure. This is a perfect example of when you could have helped to educate us, you instead chose to sabotage us. Set up? I think so. And I said it that night. I called you on it, and I will turn, and I will make sure the minutes are corrected to show that we did not go into executive session to discuss personnel matters. Please don't tell me the way you have behaved is not personal, because in my opinion, it's clear that it is personal. Right from the start of my candidacy, you made the statement, if Hatch is elected, I will resign. Why resign? I'm still here, and so are you. What changed your mind? I'm not going to continue to air out dirty laundry because all it does is tarnish the town's reputation. And as I stated earlier, it takes valuable time away from the business that the town needs to accomplish. On a positive note, these are some of our accomplishments since the last election. Rusty and I have met with all employees in Town Hall to listen to their concerns and ideas. The board has hired two new admin assistants, one for the front office and one for the CEO. We made it possible for the CEO to continue employment in a safe, non-bullying, non-harassing workplace. We approved cameras in the public hallways to enhance safety in the town hall. We introduced Zoom, an interface town website, and an informative electronic sign. We have made upgrades to the old broken-down furniture the employees were using. We are working with the new road commissioner to devise a plan to repair years of neglect of the infrastructure at the transfer station. We are attempting to build committees that will work for the people, with members who are non-biased and have no personal or neighborhood agendas. We have retained all of the current employees in Town Hall and made it a better and safer place to work. Decisions of the board may not make everybody happy all the time. However, if we were working as a fully united team, we could accomplish so much more than we are currently. Case in point, creating and updating policies and procedures such as a board code of ethics and select board meeting protocols that have not been addressed in years. How do we possibly move forward as a select board? I think we should begin to work as a team, develop meeting protocols, create board of ethics, continue to develop policies and procedures for staff, and continue to foster open communication between the board and staff. Thank you.
John, during your minority report, you didn't mention me much, but you said I was a dishonorable man. Do you believe I'm a dishonorable man?
Am I responding to that right now?
I'm asking you.
I think you've gone along with some real questionable decisions that I wouldn't have seen you making a few years ago. And it caused me to question it.
So you feel that way?
Okay. Go along with the positive things that Tom said. We did the Zoom meetings to get things out to the public as much as possible. We did put the new sign out because the other one literally fell over, it rotted out. And we've been getting the message out with that. We put into place a new budget style so that we had more in-depth reporting of the budget so that we could show and the townspeople could read what is part of each line item in the budget. We also have the department heads putting their budgets together for us instead of us telling them what their budget is. We feel it's a lot better. We started at a zero base with the budgets so that it wasn't what we had last year. We started zero and build it from there, only what's necessary. How that's going to play out, we don't know yet. We'll know here probably in a few weeks. So we did start a new process with the hiring committee, and there has been a discussion about who is a town employee and who is not. If you talk with our insurance company, they will tell you that anyone that's on a committee in town is an employee, paid or not. So because of that, that's why we thought, geez, maybe we should run people that want to be on these committees through to get a better understanding. Now, if we gave them information beforehand, Someone would say we're trying to change the outcome. And that was not the intention at all. The issue that was brought forward, I knew about it, I had totally forgotten about it. For some people, it was a big deal. For others, it was a put-up deal. So I'll leave that where it is. We also have a new committee for the Kennebunk Pond Beach that has had problems for many years, and we are now looking at those problems to see how we can work them out and mitigate the issues. So with that in mind, those are the positive things. I have a couple of comments I'd like to make so we can move on. In the summer, fall of 2020, I had several conversations with John Tibbetts. Speaking to them about representing the townspeople versus a few friends, and that there was a fine line to be careful of. We had that conversation at least three times. He indicated that he understood. Then he spoke recently at a meeting saying that this was his personal feelings and not his position as a selectman. By stating that he was a selectman adds weight to what he is saying, intended or not. Then he makes statements about selectman David Alves, which is a definite indication that it's not personal. This is so hypocritical. It's so obvious he is not representing the town. In the fall of 2020, after we'd had those several conversations, he spoke at a public meeting. We then spoke after that, and he realized, in my mind, he realized he was over the line. And he made a request that if we would pay him for his 2 years that he had on the board left, that he would resign immediately and we'd never see or hear from him again. I spoke with the town attorney about that, and he said we couldn't do it because it would take a town vote to pay an elected official. We had an executive session almost 2 years ago to where we are now on personnel matters regarding code enforcement. The reason I can speak about this is the code enforcement officer made this all public. So I'm only speaking about what was brought out in public. During that executive session, John Tibbetts left the meeting to go to the bathroom. After the meeting was over, while we were leaving the town hall, I happened to check Facebook. Lo and behold, already posted online was the discussion we had in the executive session. John Tibbetts has commented to me in the last 5 years that I've been on this board, mostly at the beginning couple years, that there was a problem with the town clerk and we needed to change the job from elected to appointed to solve the issue. I did not agree with him. I still don't agree with him. And I've made my ideas public. We had a FOIA request from Jeff Demers in regards to information contained in a personnel file. Jeff was not a selectman at the time of this issue and therefore would not know what was in the file unless someone else who was a selectman at that time spoke about it, which is illegal because it's considered confidential. John Tibbetts was a selectman at that time. I have not been able to find anything online that the Human Rights Commission wrote that had anything to do with about the comment that he brought up that they were looking for in that freedom of action, freedom of information request. That tells me somebody spoke out of turn. Last meeting, John said that we are wildly over budget. We had a budget meeting last week, and John was asked the question, what are we over budget on? He brought up, we're over budget on the legal budget. Amazing. Legal budget is overdue. Why? We had several hearings by the Zoning Board of Appeals for John Tibbetts, Jeff Demers, and Dave Dulo. The cost of those meetings was $7,000. We have expended $15,000 out of the legal budget. If you take out the seven, that puts us at $8,000, which is $2,000 under the budgeted amount. What more can I say? At the last meeting, I brought up a person from Lyman posting on Facebook on the Lyman Happenings page. The posting was misinformation, what we call fake news. It was part of a sentence without the end of the sentence, which totally changed the meeting. I brought that to light here at a meeting. The person that lied, still on Facebook. I am not. I got kicked off.
That's wrong.
I got kicked off. I am a resident of London, Maine, United States of America, not Russia. Can't tolerate that kind of an action. And I will not. Thank you. So for those that asked for a response back, I hope you got your response. I'd like to move on with the meeting. It's really not a question and answer period. Nope.
I know you've called on me before. I just want to say, could those letters be put online? There's a lot of information there.
Yes.
People might like to
read it
again.
We have a complaint from Paul Berdine at 195 Pennymouth Pond Road. And he came in to complain about speeding near his home and also about trash left out by his neighbors, which blows in his yard, and a TV that has been sitting on the side of the road for months. I'll pass that on to Patty to see what we can see with that and what the Sheriff's Department and State Police know about the speeding issue. All right. We have the minutes for the March 7th meeting to approve. Yep. So, we're gonna still need to vote to not accept them, then we can send them back.
I'll make a motion we don't accept.
A second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor? Dave. Okay. 4-0. No response from Dave. I will tell you just so you know.
The button was clicked. Sorry.
Just so you know what it is, there's a section here that we went into executive session. John objected because we didn't have the state statute and section number for personnel, and it was to speak with Morris St. Clair. Morris St. Clair said he'd speak in public. The whole discussion was held in public. We don't want the minutes to represent public. So that will be fixed for the next meeting. Okay. Payable warrant number 45 for 2022 in the amount of $79,483.57. $79,483.57.
Okay.
Yep, I got it right here, too.
As written, I'll make a motion as written.
Seconded by John. Any discussion? All those in favor? Dave?
I don't have it in my paperwork.
Okay, that's fine.
Sorry. That's fine. Or at least I can't find it.
Okay, payroll warrant number 46 in the amount of $25,328.22. Motion has been made and seconded to approve payroll warrant 46 for $25,328.22. All those in favor?
Aye.
5-0. Thank you. All right. So we have a folder here. To sign the appointment of Lee Schatz to the Ordinance Review Committee. We already voted for that, so it just needs to be signed.
I think whether that gets signed or not, we need to have more discussion on that outrageous comment by John and having to do with some sort of conflict or whatever. It needs to be discussed.
Okay. Are you looking to have that discussion now or another time?
It doesn't have to be now.
Okay.
But it should be fully vetted and discussed.
Okay. So the next order of business is to set a new date for special town meeting and sign both orders. So we ended up speaking about this to make a change from the 26th, I believe it was, to May 3rd. And the request was from the town clerk, who is going to be having surgery a few days before the 26th, and said that she could make the 3rd no problem at all, and will we consider changing it? And in our discussions, we've talked about it, so I need a motion to change that date from the 26th to May 3rd.
Can you explain what it's all about, Bill, please?
I'm sorry. Okay, so what's that date?
Can you explain what the date, what the actual voting is all about, so people understand?
That's the next item we're going to talk about then.
Okay.
Speaking of which, did you get that from, is that in here?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is to move the date from April 26th to May 3rd for the special town meeting, which is going to be held as a vote. Just going to come in and vote, and that will be it. I need a motion to do that. Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, Tom, second it. Any discussion on that?
Is there a public hearing with that also?
We're going to have to set a public hearing before the vote. Yes.
Super.
Yes. Okay. So all those in favor? Dave?
Aye.
Thank you. So it's 5-0. All right. So we have, these are the two orders.
Bill, what are the special meetings for?
We're going to get that to you in 1 second. Donna, can you show me where that document is?
It's, there's two sheets of paper that were both in the green folder. Each one has a sign here sticker.
Yeah.
One of them is just for the date. The other one has the question.
I'm sorry. I thought they were both just duplicates. Okay. So the referendum vote for the meeting on May 3rd.
is, shall the town vote to appropriate and transfer $20,000 from the professional services account to the personnel account? So that's something we talked about last June at town meeting, that if we hired a certified assessor as an employee, that the funds to pay that person would have to be transferred from professional services, or they're called contract services, to personnel. And that's what we're asking for, is to transfer those funds. It's no additional money. It's money that was already approved. It's just a transfer from one line to another. Does that make sense to everybody?
There will be a public hearing.
We will have a public hearing on that. We actually probably should set that, because it has to be at least 7 days before the vote. So I need a motion to accept the wording on the referendum.
So,
and Rusty seconds it. Any more discussion on the wording? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Dave. Okay. Is Tony Vigue here? There you are. Incognito. Okay. Tony Vigue has been our representative to, is it Charter Communications?
This week,
Spectrum,
yes.
Somebody anyway that controls the internet and TV around here. And he's going to give us a report on an invoice that he sent us and tell us where we stand with all of these fun things. So please.
My area of expertise, folks, first of all, I'm a resident of the town of Standish. Been on various boards and committees with the town for 30 years. I worked for 20 years for the city of South Portland doing their community television and franchise renewal policing. Dealt with 5 different cable companies in that period of time. I've either recorded or personally overseen the recording of over 5,000 meetings in my career. And I want to tell you folks what you're going through in front of me, sat in the back of the room, was it's called growing pains. One of the first things I did when I came before the selectmen was to encourage them to include in their franchise agreement with Charter a cable channel to be able to share with the folks at home what the selectmen are doing at the town office. And over the period of time, it's gone not only from cable, of course, to the internet. And in the meantime, Charter, and before them, Time Warner, dragged their feet on the franchise renewal. They don't like the protections and benefits that the town wants to have. And these protections and benefits in the franchise agreement were agreed to with the main model franchise back in 2005. When Charter moved in and bought the franchise agreement from Time Warner, they bought 190 of them in Maine. So they own 190 franchises in Maine. Comcast owns 15, Beeline Cable owns 5, Pioneer Broadband owns another 10. So there's a few little guys out there, but the biggie in Maine is Charter. And it's basically a virtual monopoly. And so when they fold their arms like the big gorilla in the room and say they don't want to do something, it just takes time to overcome that. Sometimes it takes legislation. We've passed 2 bills in this period of time to overcome some of the things that they didn't want to do for the towns when the process of introducing the 3rd bill was next session. So that's basically my speech, where I come from. The town hired me in 2015, and I've worked off and on since then with the town, back and forth with Charter, with the franchise agreement, trying to get the best deal for the town. Worked with your town attorney over all this time, because he has to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And at this point in time, we're ready to send Charter another version. They have sent us one with a lot of red lines through it, which we didn't like. Worked with the town attorney. We decided what we're going to send back. And this was last fall. Over the winter, there's been some changes in the law. I don't know if you've been watching the news, but there was a pro-rata bill where the cable operators were, if you called up and told them you wanted to stop your cable service because you were moving, they continued to bill you until their next billing period, okay? Well, they can't do that anymore because we got this bill passed now that says they have to disconnect and stop collecting from you as of the time that you tell them. So we're continuing to work those issues. And those kinds of things, since last fall, have to go into the franchise now before we send it back to charter to make them know that we're aware of the state law and we're not going to allow them to do these kinds of things anymore. So right now, I sent a list to the selectmen that I thought should be looked at before we send the next version back to charter saying, we don't agree with your red lines, this is what you need to do. I'm happy to work that through with your town attorney. Here we go, more legal bills. But I can tell you that I do most of the legwork in this, and my fees are much smaller than his are. And I'm happy to do it. I've actually done many hours for you folks at no charge. And I do it because it's something I carry around in my head. I know how to do, and I know how small towns work. And I love helping small towns. My wife doesn't agree with me all the time. I'll tell you that real quick. But
your wife's not Shelley from Time Warner.
No. Shelley's an eye like this.
I got some information from her this week about that public channel for the town to
yes,
use.
Yes, yes.
She said, absolutely, no problem.
Yeah.
But they're going to bill you for it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an additional charge. It's like
that's their mantra.
Oh, yeah. Can't do that. Yeah. Anyway, neither here nor there.
So these are the kinds of things that I've been working on for the town. I'm happy to carry on doing that. If you folks want to have your attorney take it over from here, that's fine too. There's also a group, the GP Cog folks, Greater Portland Council of Government, 14 towns in the Portland area that are working together as a group to negotiate a common franchise with charter. And I offered, well, it was Lisa then, the opportunity to go with them. I could step back and let that go, but I guess you didn't. So I'm still available to help you if you want me to continue. So the invoice that is currently outstanding, I'm in no hurry to collect on. In fact, I get calls from the towns all the time. Once you send us your invoice, please, yeah. We're going into the next calendar year. So, yeah.
Does anybody have any further questions for Tom?
Great explanation. Thank you.
Yeah. No, you're welcome. Appreciate you coming in. We hated to drag you out.
Well, I was very pleased to see this, and I'll tell you, it's part of the growing pains. And I will also leave you with one final thought. Sunshine is the best disinfectant.
Okay. Well, why am I here?
Notepad down on one of the notepads.
I don't need to write a note for that.
I'll take
any notes.
He did.
I'll take any.
I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, we will get you your money.
Whenever.
Okay. Thank you for taking the time, though.
Yeah. Anytime.
Okay.
Thank you. Good luck, folks.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have in our packets, we have the treasurer's report where the budget is today. Parks and Recs is in the package. And I did speak with Holly from Parks and Rec. We had a question about soil and sod as part of the budget. We didn't know what it was for. And what it is where they have the skating rink, the ground is not level. So they've got it shimmed up on one end so that it works. They would like to have it through the summer if that could be regraded level. So when they put it back up next fall, that it works properly. I said that I would look into seeing what the cost would be to do that. We'll look at it with the budget. Dave's probably tapping his fingers on the table. Yeah.
Dave, are you tapping?
Am I? No, I'm not tapping. Oh, I'm clicking the computer.
Oh, yeah, we're hearing it here. That you have a seizure.
Okay. Norm Dubois here?
No.
He said he'd be here. We've been trying to get the school department, the school board representatives from the town of Lyman to come once a month. We've got three of them. Each one pick a month to come. Give us a report of what's going on. I can't say I was thrilled with the explanation I got about that, but all that I was told was we can talk about some things, but others we're not allowed to talk about. And it's like, you gotta be kidding me. You're our rep and you can't talk to us. He said, yep, that is exactly what it is. So we look forward to it next meeting for someone to be here
cut that 10 feet, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
This is actually, if we can take a second, I missed something when we were opening bids. There was another one at the back of it that I did not see for the striping. Brad, can you explain what it is for the striping? This is zebra striping.
Is that the one just for the crosswalk striping? That's what zebra does. They do the crosswalks.
Crosswalks, yep. Yeah. Turn lanes, et cetera, yeah. Yep.
They've been doing it for years, and they're using the state protocol, just like most striping companies do, just like the sweeping companies do. The state sets a budget number, and they work with that within that same number.
And that's all we have for pricing is just from them.
Yeah.
So.
They include the transfer station, Google.
I'm sorry?
Does it include the transfer station also?
Locker room.
We're going to sign this one tonight. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
We approved it last time.
Transfer station is on here.
What are they doing on Locker Road, Bill?
Turn lane arrows on Walker Road to turn onto Old North Berwick Road.
Cross hatched
area,
yeah.
It says.
Yep.
Yep. Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I thought.
So the price to do that striping is $1,785.
Assuming they can get the right color.
Yeah, that would be nice. So I need a motion if you want to do that. John makes a motion to accept it. Rusty seconds it. Is there any discussion more on the striping? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Dave.
Could I ask Mr. Ells a question?
In regards to, I
thought we agreed. I thought you mentioned, Dave, we weren't going to sign Mr. Schatz's warrant tonight.
No, he said we would, but he wanted to have.
I said.
Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. Okay.
I guess I just signed this one. So we're good on that. Okay, I got that. But I don't know. Okay, I'm looking for the follow up. On code enforcement.
She didn't give me anything.
She didn't give you anything? Okay. So on 12 Basswood, I don't have any in the packet to bring forward. I know actions being taken on that to get it resolved.
What was that side
of here? There was an email that the code enforcement office has sent to me to forward to you regarding that.
Yep.
That was the follow-up. So.
She wanted us to hold on, get an attorney involved.
Yeah. Oh, how do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, I'm only.
Just give her the authorization if necessary to take care of
it. We need to put that to rest.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree. So you make that motion, John? And Rusty seconds it. Is there any more discussion on 12 Basswood? All those in favor? Dave?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm good.
Okay. Okay. We don't have the title and section to go into executive session to discuss these last two matters that have to be done there, so we are at the end.
So I need a motion. Yeah.
Yep. So second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.